mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Dr. Daniel Manzer, expert in geostrategy and security, secret warfare, business and human rights, peace research, written a book about Operation Gladio, will be joining us coming up after this first break. I've had a lot of requests. I haven't aired it in about a year to play Renegades in its entirety. So we'll go ahead and roll that, and then we'll come back and go to our guests. We will take calls early in the next hour for all of you holding, so be patient. We will get to you. The websites are jonesreport.com, infowars.net, prisonplanet.tv, infowars.com, and prisonplanet.com, not to mention 911, martiallaw911.info. We'll be right back. Here is Renegades.
Announcing the release of my new film, Police State 3 Total Enslavement. Police State 3 details the architecture, goals, and operations of the New World Order.
There is a chance to use this disaster for the New World Order.
The New World Order can emerge.
The film documents dozens of confirmed cases of government-sponsored terrorism worldwide. We rip the Sinister Patriot Act legislation 1 and 2 apart, piece by piece, and reveal the arrogance of what Ashcroft has to say about your liberty.
You will lose your liberty.
Homeland Security, executive orders, forced vaccinations, the new prison economy, the Total Information Society, the Pan-American Union, federal gun grabs, government-run white slavery rings, and much, much more. If you want to understand what the New World Order really is, then my new 2.5-hour video, Police State 3, is for you. Visit InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com to order, or call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Order today and spread the word.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. You know that Berkey water filters have become the standard of excellence by which all other water filtration systems are measured. The Berkey Light gives you the freshest, cleanest water possible from the world's most revolutionary water filtration system. The self-sterilizing black Berkey elements remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, volatile organic chemicals, trihalomethanes, radon 222, and much, much more. Its rechargeable 8-lamp bright white LED lighting system provides the ideal source of emergency light. The lights can run all night on a single charge, and it is bright enough to read by. This provides a relaxing and ambient night light and allows for optimum use during emergency conditions. The Berkey Light's revolutionary transparent design takes the guesswork out of refilling because you can see the water level at all times. Get the Berkey Light, the standard of excellence, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll free at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
For months now, you've been hearing about the incredible health benefits of Zango, the functional health beverage made from the whole fruit of mangosteen. What you probably didn't know is that Zango joined forces with the leading manufacturer and distributor of functional health beverages like Capri Sun, Sobe, Mystic, and Red Bull to create the fastest growing business opportunity in America today. Are you sick of barely having enough money? Are you tired of working so hard yet feeling like you'll never get ahead? Are you ready to start investing in your own business instead of somebody else's? Whatever it is you seek, Zango could be the special company that helps you achieve your hopes and dreams. So take matters into your own hands. Create a future that doesn't depend on a fickle 401k and lateral promotions. Zango is what you are looking for. Find out more by calling 888-203-6633 or visit mangosteenmarkets.com. That's M-A-N-G-O-S-T-E-E-N markets.com. Call 888-203-6633 today.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Two, already the second segment of this hour. Thank you so much for joining us. He's got such a voluminous pedigree when it comes to research and doctorates that I think it's best if I just let our guest, Dr. Daniel Ganser, tell us about himself. He's been in, of course, major think tanks all over Europe. He's a Swiss individual living in Switzerland, and he teaches college. He's a professor. He's written a book that I now have in my hot little hands a few weeks ago. It was essential research on a new film I'm making, NATO's Secret Army, Operation Gladio and Terrorism in Western Europe. And, of course, it's available from Amazon.com. We'll tell you about it later and have a link to that up on Infowars.com. And scholarly work, NATO's Stay Behind Armies, NATO's Secret Armies. And this is where they carry out terror attacks or pay a criminal group to carry out a terror attack as a pretext for blaming their political enemies. And so I'm really honored to have Mr. Ganser on with us today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
You bet. Tell us about yourself in a nutshell. I know some of it, some of the work you've done we won't even get into today but for security reasons, but tell us what you can about yourself.
Well, I'm a historian. I live in Switzerland. I'm the father of a young daughter, and I teach history, modern history, international relations. And what I'm really interested in is false flag terrorism and geostrategy.
Because that's the foundation of our entire geopolitical system, isn't it?
Well, abuse of power does exist. That's certainly true. And as historians, we sort of studied this in detail. But it's been very difficult during the last years to actually find concrete examples where we have so-called false flag terrorism. In fact, many people don't even know the term what false flag terrorism is.
But, Doctor, is it fair to say that the zeitgeist of governments in modern history has been staging events or provocateuring events to scare populations into accepting unpalatable political agendas?
These things have happened. That is certainly fair to say. What I looked at specifically were events in Europe during the Cold War. That's the period between 1947 and 1991. What I looked at were the NATO secret armies, and we found data in this context. We also found data in other continents, in Africa, in Asia, in the Americas, and it's all over the place.
I would like you to just break down for us, as if you're talking to a layman audience. We have a very informed, intelligent audience, one of the most informed out there, but there's a lot of new listeners, and a lot of people will listen to this and read the transcript later. Break down what false flag is, why governments engage in it, and then let's just run through it for the audience. I would just add the caveat beforehand. One of the best open and shut cases is 1953, overthrow of Mohammad Mossadegh, who was pro-America, thrown out the Soviets, man of the year, Time magazine. And I've listened to Kermit Roosevelt before he died on the radio, the CIA section chief who carried out the attacks with MI6 for British Petroleum. He admitted that they bombed mosques, machine gun crowds, to blame it on political enemies and to bring down Mossadegh. They then beheaded most of his cabinet and put him on house arrest the rest of his life, blaming him for a crime they had committed. The after-action reports are on the CIA's own website, and Time magazine, New York Times also have done reports on it and have it posted, where the after-action reports to 10 Downing Street and to the White House describing how they carried out the terror attacks, amongst other things, to blame it on Mossadegh is a good place, I think, to start. But first off, tell us what false flag is or government-sponsored terror, and then let's run through the history of it.
Okay, well, you're certainly right that the 1953 operation in Iran was a false flag operation, or included elements of false flag. But the term false flag comes from the time when, you know, adversaries met on the sea, and one ship, for instance, had a red flag, and the other ship had the blue flag, and these groups of ships would fight against each other. Now, some ships, some captains wanted to be very cunning, very clever, so they hissed a different flag. So if you take the group with the blue flag, they just hissed the red flag, and they could then sail closer to the other ships and attack from within the group. And that was the origin of the term false flag. You actually don't show who you really are, but you pretend you're somebody else. For instance,
I myself, Doctor, in one of the few areas of history I have focused on is naval history from 1500 to the 1900s. And the British, of course, were the masters of false flag. They would say pose as a Spanish ship when Spain was neutral during one section of the Napoleonic War. They would then run up alongside, even painting their ships, up against the Spanish ships or Dutch ships to then sink them. Pirates then took the cue from the British and would fly a neutral or friendly flag to get up close on British East Indiamen.
That's exactly right. I mean, you actually put it down correctly. It seems to the average citizen, it seems like something silly to do. Just, you know, paint your ship in a different color or take a uniform. But you must remember when World War II started, Hitler actually had a unit of German soldiers trained to sing Polish songs. And these guys then dressed up as Polish soldiers and invaded a little radio station, which was called Gleiwitz Radio Station. And what they did is they presented, they played to be Polish and attacked these Germans there. And later Hitler said, well, the Polish have attacked us, although these were actually Germans.
And it was later discovered.
Faking.
It was later discovered during the Battle of the Bulge there were SS units trained to talk like Americans and Brits.
That's right. I mean, you know, these things are very, very effective because after they have happened, usually the war starts, and the war always makes a lot of noise and a lot of confusion, and people can't go back to this first event. But if you remember that the Second World War, which cost 60 million lives, actually started as a false flag. It's fair to say that false flags do matter.
And it's simple. How is Hitler going to attack the town of Gliwice? Well, they even went so far as to grab a concentration camp victim, a Pole, dress him up as a Pole to have somebody dead that the Germans supposedly killed. And I cover that in the new film that doesn't have a title yet, folks. It'll be out in 2 months. And this is exactly what they do. Going back to the original false flags that the Brits pioneered and perfected, they would also capture Spanish or Dutch, or they would also capture French ships, get their code books, and then come up and flash their lanterns with the proper code at the horizon to bring in the French ships so they could feed on them.
Yeah, I mean, it's everybody who's sort of working on geostrategy knows that if you don't look at false flags, you will always take a signal as a genuine signal, or you will take a plane as a genuine plane, whereas in fact everybody knows you can of course dress up as, you know, a Pole or a German or an American or a Muslim or a Jew or whatever. You can always stage something, and this is used the cunning side of warfare, which can lead obviously sometimes to very dreadful results.
Yes, Doctor. Where would you like to start with the stay-behind armies in NATO starting in 1945? Is that a good place for us to start?
Yeah, why not? Let's start there. I mean, that was the time when the Second World War was over. Europe was devastated, and most strategists in Europe actually feared an occupation of Western Europe by the communists in the years to come. So they thought we must prepare something like a guerrilla network which could then be operated in case of an invasion. So the primary thinking for creating such secret units was we must have a guerrilla unit ready in case of occupation. But that was only a first point of the thinking.
That's the excuse for recruiting as the guerrilla networks.
Well, it's not. We shouldn't say it's an excuse, because some people, you know, they've like Norwegian. I talked to a number of officers in Norway. They have been occupied by the Germans, and really they were unprepared or not well prepared enough. So they said, we never want that again. For the next war, we really want to be ready. So they set up secret arms caches in these and that places. They trained how to operate behind enemy lines.
By the way, I would interrupt you again and say that that's something that the Swiss pioneered, is arming their population and having caches, and you guys never get invaded.
That's true. I mean, we had a secret army. It was called P-26, and it was set up also after the Second World War, and we cooperated with the British MI6 because the Swiss said the British are the best in that trade, and it's actually true that probably the British are the best at secret warfare worldwide.
Oh, did you hear me say that in the last hour?
Sorry?
Oh, it's just interesting. I was having this big debate about who the best. It just sounded like you were agreeing with me. Last hour, I talked about being the British being the best.
Okay. Yes, I mean, I didn't hear that, obviously, in Switzerland, but I would agree with you with that when you said it. The British are very strongly involved in this. Obviously, there was a sharing of information between the British and then the Americans picking up after 1945. And the Israeli are also rather good. So it's among these three, you know, it's always a big battle who's actually the best. But
well, I would say that the British are the progenitors.
Yeah, they you know, they had to hold an empire which stretched over the whole globe. And if you want to hold an empire, as the Chinese say, you have to be cunning, you have to deceive, you have to use tricks. It's not, you know, it's no moral game to be an empire, as the Romans said.
I agree with you. Wow, this is an amazing interview. We're on the same page, Doctor. We're about to break, but please continue with the Stay Behind Networks.
Well, the second problem they faced was that in Western Europe you had nominally democracies, so people, you know, could elect their leaders, where in Eastern Europe you had totalitarian systems where you just had one party, namely the Communist Party, and this party was more or less directed by Moscow. But then Western strategists were very concerned that in these democracies of Western Europe, namely Italy or France, people would actually go and vote for the wrong people, which in their view were the Communist Party. So that was a real problem. They wanted to give Western Europe the right to vote and actually go and have their elections, but they were terrified, really terrified, that these people might vote for the Communists, and then you have Communist parties in Western Europe, and that would have weakened NATO from within.
Stay there, Doctor. We'll be right back with our guest. He's Dr. Daniel Ganser. Stay with us. I'm Alex Jones. This is the GCN Radio Network.
Do you know the truth about breast cancer? Did you know that the race for the cure is over? The best-kept secret in the country today is that it is now possible to kill cancer without personal suffering, mutilation, and poisoning of your entire system. Now, it's cancer's turn to die with Lays Med Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy tumors of any size without adverse side effects at a physician's office. Star Wars technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267. That's 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's www.lasemedinc.com. Or call LaseMed at 702-953-0267 today.
Here it is, folks, the 2006 Red Book, the most comprehensive edition ever published. Midas Resources believes our clients should be as informed as possible. It includes a history of U.S. coins, the actual mintages, the grading standards. Learn the stability of real money. Protect yourself from fiat currencies. They are instruments of debt. Feel the comfort and safety of real money. Midas will send you the 2006 Red Book and a genuine silver dollar for just $22.95 delivered. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237. Don't be lost in a sea of confusion. Get the 2006 Red Book. Help steer your own financial ship. Call Midas now, 1-800-686-2237.
Berkey water filters are the ultimate filters used worldwide for normal or hostile filtration environments to provide the most delicious, sparkling, clean water possible. The Berkey Light self-sterilizing filter elements remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, chemicals, and they reduce lead, mercury, aluminum, nitrate, sulfur, odors, foul tastes, and much, much more. Yet they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. The Berkey Light has ridges to deflect water if the upper chamber is overfilled, and it can be used anywhere on a flat surface. That's because it has an elevated base. The entire system joins together to make the Berkey Light convenient to transport, even while it's filtering water. Its rechargeable bright white LED lamps allow for optimum use at night or during emergency conditions. Get the Berkey Light, the ultimate filter, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Gee, honey, those new sandals look great on you.
And look, they show off my new toenails, too.
New toenails? Well, what happened to the old ones?
Well, they're not really new, just clear and healthy-looking. Remember how embarrassed I was? They were so discolored, really awful-looking.
Well, they sure look clear now. Gosh, I wish I could wear sandals again. My toenails are a disaster. Look, this one looks white. And that one's thick and yellow.
Well, here's my secret. Non-X Nail Gel. It clears out yellowing keratin debris, the source of nail discoloration.
Ah, so that's it. I've got ugly keratin debris buildup under my nails.
And Non-X Nail Gel gets rid of it. Now, you'll need to use it every day, but clear nails are worth it.
You bet. You know, when we go to the beach this summer, my toenails are going to look just as good as yours do.
Thanks to Non-X Nail Gel.
Non-X Nail Gel. For clear, healthy-looking nails. Now at Walgreens, Rite Aid, Eckerd, Brooks, Long's, Duane Reade, and Walmart. In the foot care section.
We'll tell you about Dr. Daniel Gansner's book and how you can get it. It's reading, must have reading for anybody that wants to know what's going on in the foundation of the type of things we see happening today in our modern world. Dr. Gansner continuing with the Stay Behind Armies, early post-war period. Please continue.
Yeah, the problem was, as I said, that people in Western Europe were voting for communists, and then you had communists in parliaments, and then people were scared that these communists would sort of weaken NATO from within. So the task ahead, I mean, during the Cold War, it must be remembered, was that everybody was fighting the communists. I mean, everybody was saying they're really scary and they will destroy everything. So what could be done? Strategists then thought, well, we can plant bombs and say these bombs have been planted by the communists. That will make them really look very bad. And this was a strategy that was being implemented, for instance, in Italy.
Now, the White Russians, the pro-Tsarist forces, were enjoyed doing that, too.
I mean, you know, false flag operations really is nothing that you can say, you know, only the Germans did it, or only the Cubans did it, or the Russians did it, or the English did it, or the Israeli did it. Or there's actually no nation that, you know, has a racial gene that saves it from doing a false flag operation.
And from what I've studied, Doctor, that's really the excuse they use with these specially picked special forces that or criminals they hire to do this is, well, they're going to do it, so we got to do it.
Yeah, but it's, you know, everybody loses in that game. That's the point, we must wake up. I mean, you can obviously let that happen for some time, and then everybody's doing false flags. What we had now in Iraq, in the ongoing Iraq war, was that we have Special Air Service, SAS. These are the British Special Forces. And in one case, you know, they dressed up as Muslims, you know, really wearing a wig and wearing the sort of clothes a Muslim would wear. In 2005, we had them in Basra being caught by the Iraqis, who said, gee, why do you guys dress up like that? And they then found the car was full of explosives nearby, and it was a huge hassle.
Well, they'd also killed police officers, you know.
That's right, yeah, because they, you know, there were about, when you're doing a false flag, think of the situation, you don't want to be caught, because if you're being caught as, you know, posing as, I don't know, if you were posing now as a Chinese, I don't know whether you can fancy that, but just think of it, and travel to Shanghai and blow something up and say, you know, the Chinese are clearly violent, this is the proof for it, although, you know, you did it yourself. And then they catch you, obviously. It's very embarrassing, because you're actually proving the point that you are truly, truly violent, and then it totally backfires. So it's very important that the false flag operation remains unknown, remains secret. Once the public realizes that the false flag operation is actually being carried out by the one who afterwards screams, gee, how violent the others are, you know, he's totally discredited.
You're right, and they are getting caught. I mean, they were caught shooting police, running off. They catch them with fake beards and the whole Muslim outfit on, and then they look in the car, and it's full of LAWs, rockets, machine guns, and bombs.
Yeah, but we must remember that really this is the exception, that false flag operation people are being caught. As a rule, you know, if we go back to the Italian case, for instance, we had an attack there in the year 1972 in a small little village called Petteano. And you know, you had a few police officers receiving a call saying, there's a little car at the wood, and why don't you check it out? It seems to have been stolen. Then the police officers go there, and once they are close enough, the car just blows up, and they're all dead. And then, you know, an anonymous phone call says, you know, that was the Red Brigades. We did it. So the data you have at the moment is just a lot of bodies all over the place, clear sign of violence and destructions. And you have another phone call, or, you know, today you would have a video or something that you can't trace back. You don't really know whether it's true or not. And then this message spreads out into the public. You know, the journalists go there, and obviously the journalists, they don't have a clue what happened. They just go there and write down what people tell them. And so you have a whole, you know, sequence of events which leaves people to believe, oh, gee, the Red Brigades, which were a violent communist group in Italy, they did this indeed. And what we look at as historians is that this was in 1972, and we found out only in 1984, that's 12 years later, that in fact it was a right-wing Catholic, you know, an Italian Catholic, who staged this in cooperation with the Italian military secret service, Servizio Informazione Sicurezza Militare. This is the Italian secret service. And so it was actually the state, you know, engaging in this operation.
And we've now had...
Don't think of it.
You're right. We've got a break. I want to go through a whole bunch of cases, the Bologna bombing and others, and how they do this, and how the government goes and hires these people to carry it out. We've had intelligence chiefs go public. We've had former presidents go public. We've had all these people go public. It is admitted. We really got some exposure and a look into this world with what happened in decades of terrorist attacks in Italy.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
According to the American Diabetes Association, more than 18 million people in the U.S. have diabetes. Most people with diabetes have risk factors such as obesity, high blood pressure, and cholesterol, which increase their risk for heart disease. For example, more than 65% of people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. Finding out you or your loved ones have diabetes can be scary. This is why, as your trusted online partner in health, we are committed to bringing you products that help you make informed decisions about your health. At researchherbs.com, you can learn more about GlucoCare, a highly effective and safe natural herbal supplement formulated specifically to help maintain optimal blood sugar levels. As with all products featured on researchherbs.com, GlucoCare is the result of several years of rigorous development and is backed by numerous clinical trials and experimental studies. Visit us online at researchherbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 to learn more. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Get the new Berkey battery adapter, an inexpensive yet long-term backup power supply for your Berkey Light LED system. The Berkey's LED lamps are unique because, incredibly, they have an average life of over 11 years of continuous use and are so bright they can be spotted for more than a mile in the dark, yet require very little energy. That's why this revolutionary new technology is a bit expensive, but it's worth every penny because the low-energy LEDs are able to provide light all night long for over 2 weeks on a single set of four AA alkaline batteries. That's right. Incredibly, your emergency light will operate every night for over 2 weeks for the price of four small AA batteries. Be prepared for unexpected emergencies and get the Berkey battery adapter, complete with on-off switch for only $10 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, in herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
John in Texas, Ron in New York, Betty in Florida, others, your calls are coming up. And we are specifically today talking about false flags in Europe and in other areas of the world. With our guest, who I'm really honored to have with us, Dr. Daniel Ganser. And you need to get his book. You really need to have it. I haven't asked my webmaster if this is up, but it should be. If it isn't, we'll get a link to it. NATO Secret Army, Operation Gladio and Terrorism in Western Europe. Or you can just simply type his name into Google, Dr. Daniel Ganser, and it will come up for you. You need to get this book. Ganser is spelled G-A-N-S-E-R, G-A-N-S-E-R, pretty easy, Dr. Daniel Ganser. And your calls are coming up at 1-800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231. Dr. Ganser, please continue, because you're not just here saying that the Italian government, the CIA, and the P2 Lodge and others were involved in this. This is now mainstream news, because I've done the research, and you've done the research more than I have, you know, in the Italian press. They've been caught. So let's go over let's just look at one country. There's so many where this happened, with the NATO option, the Salvadoran option, all of it happened in Latin America too. But let's specifically, if we can, spend a few minutes on Italy itself and the history of some of the events.
Okay, sure. Let's focus on in Italy. What you have in Italy is a strong communist party on the left, and the conservative Catholic Party on the right. The conservative on the right was called Democrazia Cristiana, and on the left it was called Partito Socialista Italiano. So between these two groups, you always had a very strong fight. And in this fight, obviously, Italy was not in a civil war, but it almost went to a civil war. We had a lot of deaths during the Cold War. And in one specific moment, people died in the following way. Go back to 1969, go to the Italian city Milano. This is in northern Italy. And everybody's shopping for Christmas presents and stuff. And suddenly a lot of bombs go off. And, you know, they kill people all over the place and everybody's scared. And you have this effect of terror. The first effect of terror is fear. You know, it spreads all over the place. And then as a second effect, you need somebody who is responsible for this. And then the message comes out, you know, these were the communists. These were the communists. These were the communists. And people sort of believe this. And now, in 2001 or 2 it was, I think, you have a trial in Italy, and, you know, you find out it was not the communists, it was right-wing people, you know, people from the Catholics, from the other camp. So it was a false flag operation. And then you have an Italian general from the intelligence service, Giandelia Moletti, his name is, and he says, you know, it's true we did this, but we did this together with the CIA. And this was a very far-reaching claim, you know. He said, you know, we Italians, it's true, we did some false flag operations, but we did this in cooperation with foreign secret services who said we need to stabilize NATO, and in order to stabilize NATO, we need to defeat the communists. So that's just one example.
Now, I wasn't going to bring up current issues because I want to try to keep this in a historical perspective, and that's, of course, your wish as well. But at the same time, you brought up SAS dressed up like Arabs, clearly involved in the staging of attempted staging of false flag ops, and that's even mainstream news now. And we've caught Israelis dressed up as Arabs shooting U.S. troops, and then the Marines have even captured them and beat them up and pulled their clothes off, and they're Israeli special forces or Israeli contractors. But then we look at things like the London bombing and all the evidence there. I mean, I've said it's a false flag. The evidence shows that. Even Scotland Yard says they don't think that these were, quote, the bombers or knew what they were part of. Then it turns out a SWAT is really working for MI6. I have John Loftus, a former, you know, chief anti-terrorism expert for the Justice Department. He comes on and says it looks like the British were carrying out the attacks or involved. I mean, that's a pretty heavyweight saying that. We have the drill that day. We have, you know, all this evidence. We have all this happening. Do you want to get into London briefly, or you want to just move on?
I don't know too much about London, but what I know is that people, like 10 years ago, you know, people didn't even know the term false flag operation. And now I'm talking to so many, you know, students, newspapers, everybody. Everybody tries to find out, what is this false flag? Does it really exist? You know, like my mother, when she asked me, so what are you studying and what do you specialize in? And I said, you know, secret warfare and military operations. She's like, that's not really nice, you know. And then after some time, when I told her all these things, at first she was in disbelief that this exists. And that is a normal stage of every person that they go through. First they say, come on, I mean, this is not true. So what's fake and what's true? How can we find out? It's a real mess then. And what I'm trying to get at is to show that within the Cold War, we have very, very clear and specific cases where we can show this happened. It was a false flag operation. We know the details. Take, for instance, 1954, the Lavon affair. This was a moment in the time when the Israelis didn't want the British to leave from Egypt because they wanted them to have a function as a buffer a little bit between Egypt and Israel. So they dressed up as Egyptians and set off some bombs. Nobody was killed, but it effectively kept the British there a little longer. In the end, the Israeli defense minister, Lavon, had to resign. But, you know, with loads of false flag operations documented.
Listen, I've got Haaretz. I mean, that's the biggest paper in Israel. I've got Jerusalem Post, where, what, back in 2002, was also in UPI, United Press International, did a report, and it's admitted that Israel was grabbing young Palestinian youths, holding them for 5, 6, 7 years, some cases 10 years, releasing them as basically stooges who now worked for Shin Bet and of course Mossad, and having them go out and, quote, stage Al-Qaeda attacks to then claim that Al-Qaeda was in the West Bank.
There you go. I mean, the funny thing, once you start turning the world in your head, you know, You can go to many countries. Go to Cuba, for instance. If you remember, recall the 1961 Bay of Pigs invasion, you know, obviously it was an effort of the CIA to try to overthrow Castro, which didn't work. Everybody knows that part of the story. But that small part of the story was that it also contained a false flag, because first, the U.S. wanted to destroy Castro's air force. He only had a few planes, and they were not even good. But they wanted to bomb, Cuba, but it would, didn't look good. So what they did is they had planes painted in Cuban color. So that was American planes painted in Cuban color, and which then bombed Cuba and came back and landed in the U.S. And the story, as it was spread at the United Nations, where Cuba protested, was that these were Cuban pilots who fled the dictatorship of Castro, and before fleeing the country, they bombed their own country. And, you know, the press almost bought it, but there was one journalist who looked at these planes and said, gee, look, that's not exactly the Cuban plane. This is an American plane painted in a silly way. And this sort of false flag happens again and again and again in many different places.
Here's another example. I know you know about the White House memo. It came out about a year after the Downing Street memo, and this is admitted. The White House wants to, quote, arrest whoever released this, so does Downing Street. Blair is meeting just a few months before the war at the White House, and Bush says, number one, we can stage a defector coming out who claims he saw WMDs. We know that we've tried that. Then he says we can paint up American or British planes like UN planes, fly them low, and try to get some of Saddam's forces to fire on them. That's false flag right there.
That's it. And it's not new on the planet. That's what we have to remember. It's only new that we start to get to grips with it.
No,
but
I agree,
first
sir.
Of all, learn that they exist, and we start to decipher it. It's really difficult for scientists.
I've said over and over again, Doctor, that the key right now is to have the public have a revelation or an epiphany, a renaissance of understanding about false flag, because I see it as the key in the geopolitical strategy for world empire by the Anglo-American establishment over and over again. And now I've gone in 10 years, myself focusing predominantly on false flag and government-sponsored terror, to now see that it is commonplace and now entering the popular vocabulary and nomenclature.
That's true. I mean, what we're looking at is that we're in a sort of waking up process to a strategy which has been there in the abyss of international relations. You know, people wouldn't talk about it. It was in the dark chambers, and specialists knew that it existed, but most people would hardly confess that they actually participated in false flag operations at all. Whereas now, let's say we've had false flag operations for at least 50 years, which we can document very well the recent false flag. Obviously, we've had them for many, many hundred years, but the last 50 years, we can document them rather well. And people start to say, so what's the use? And when I usually teach strategic thinking, I always say, think of a weapon, and then people think of a gun first, right? They think of guns, and then think of something powerful. Then they think of an aircraft carrier or of a stealth bomber or a scoop missile, something really big and heavy hardware. I always point out that the strongest weapon is not visible. You can't even smell it, because it's fear. And fear is a weapon that can be used to do many things. Obviously, if you live in a relationship, you know that one partner can use fear against the other one, or if you live in a school, if you go to work, you know that fear can be used and is being used as a power tool. And so it is being used as well in international politics. And their false flag operation actually are one of the essential mechanisms to trigger fear.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, in this toolbox, it is one of the most used, most effective tools, and that's what, in his after-action report in 1953, that's what Kermit Roosevelt tells the White House, Eisenhower, and that's what he tells 10 Downing Street. He says, this is incredibly effective. We've got to use this more.
That's true. I mean, that was the, you know, the first feeling of politicians who got this tool into their hand. They were fascinating. They thought, gee, you know, it's not moral. And it's not right, obviously, because you kill and lie at the same time. But It's wonderful. It's so strong. We probably can use it and make it a better world. You know, most people are convinced that they're going to make a better world anyway. So these people who use false flag are always convinced they're fighting something very evil. And once that has been defeated, then they will be good. But in the meantime, there has to be bad. So this false flag strategy was used, and now we see it all over the place, and we can't get it back into the box. And this is something we must wake up to. That it, you know, we were tricked to think that we can handle it, but once again, very much like nuclear weapons, we're not really able to handle it, and now we have a mess.
Well, exactly. I mean, here's an example. They have drills at school where they take 10 8-year-old children, point machine guns at them, scream at them, yell them, they cry, and then the government says the answer is we've got to have a police state at the school to keep you safe from shooters. And then it's just part of the brainwashing for the police state. Here in Austin, we've had...
Where is that happening?
Here in the U.S. We've had fake bio attacks in downtown Austin before 9/11, shutting down the city. Then they admit later, oh, we really didn't pull over a Muslim. He was an officer. We were staging it. They have a fake nuclear spill on I-35, shot down the highway, total hysteria. Then at midnight, they announce it was just a drill. We have these drills constantly where at first they announce they're real, sir, just to terrorize us and create this atmosphere of fear here in America.
You know, that's people always ask, why is it useful to study Latin? It's such an old language, and it's all gone. Who uses it anyway?
Si bono.
But Latin, you know, if you know what terror means, it means great fear in Latin. That's what it means. And if a country is in great fear, and probably the U.S. is in great fear, or has been during the last 5 years, then the country is paralyzed. You know, you will feel it when you go out and you're in a different country. You feel, will be different. But there as well, every country can be put under great fear once you use mechanisms that strengthen the fear. And people can break. What I always say is, I was born in the Italian-speaking part of Switzerland, so I had a very strong focus on Italy. And when people then say, so what can we do if we see there is false flags going on, but it happens so quickly that, you know, we can't find out who it was and everything is so complicated? And I always say, steer clear of the fear. Because that's the only thing. It's not the 10 people who were killed in the false flag who are actually the target group. The target group are the millions who survive. And they're not even aware that they're the target group. They think, oh, gee, these are really unfortunate. They died in this nasty terrorist attack. But as I said, in Italy, these terrorist attack targeted the rest, the surviving who thought they might be next.
Yes, so the living are the targets, and so in the past, when the U.S. had some real terror attacks in the 1970s by some of the Reds, the media would say, no big deal, ignore them, okay, they killed a police officer, ignore it, let's not worry about it, don't have fear, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. So whenever I see a real attack, that they will either cover it up, say it didn't happen, or ignore it, or say don't worry about it. But then after a big event, when you know it's the government or one of their elements, you see the telltale signs, but also you see them instantly maximizing it, instantly leveraging it, and we see them with the endless fake terror alerts. That's a form of terror. No one is killed, and then the White House had to admit, as documents went public, that they were releasing those whenever something scary came out about Enron or some new corruption scandal came out. They would bump it up to the red level. That was a mechanism of not even carrying out attacks, but bringing the fear back, and you can see who the real terrorists are. The terrorist is the person who threatens a crime or carries out a crime for their political aims against a population or a government or institution, and then you see the government proving they're the terrorist in most cases, because there they are, openly hyping the fear day one when it happens and using it and maximizing it.
I mean, what we have is we do have governments using the tool, but we also have, obviously, private groups. And, the normal terrorists in the genuine sense,
black
and I'm not saying false, they do exist. They do exist. And what has to be emphasized is that what is very difficult to say is, in a specific case, whether it was this classical normal terrorist that you always thought of as this independent unit, not infiltrated by any military intelligence service and manipulated by any government or so, but, you know, like a genuine terrorist group, they exist, they carry out killings, and they have done this during the last 100 years. That's one group. And on the other group, you do have state actors who just pose as terrorists, and who used aerostrategy. And what is important from a historical perspective is that we always sit back when we see a terrorist attack and say, gee, okay, what was this? Was this my tax money being used against me by the state, or was this a private group that carried out another atrocity? Because
so,
both cases are always possible.
Exactly. So it's important, doctor, to just instantly question and research anytime there's an event and never give in to fear.
That's exactly the point. We must research much more, because what we do is we always get hyped up, you know. There's a terrorist attack. Next day, there's the answer. And the day after, we want the death penalty. But the saying doesn't work like that. We get caught into a huge spiral of violence all over the globe. And only later, if you look at Indonesia, there was the Indonesian president, Wahid, who said that the Bali terror, some of it, you know, military intelligence was involved. And that's really scary because, you know, we gather data here in Switzerland, in Germany, and in other countries. And in Europe, we've had this false flag terrorism for a long, long time. We had it, for instance, in 1954 in Greece. You know, some people, the Turks from the special forces in Turkey, they went to Greece and they went to a museum, which was dedicated to Kemal, and they threw in a bomb and posed as Greeks. Now, next day, everybody got so stirred up and thought, gee, these were the Greeks, you know, that the Turks and the Greeks started killing each other. And it was all false. It was a false flag operation.
Stay there. Absolutely. Stay there, doctor. Stay there, professor. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls, I promise, on the other side.
There is a secret that holds the world's destiny in its grasp. Hello, my friends. Alex Jones here. Learn that secret with my new film, Martial Law, 9/11 Rise of the Police State. Martial Law plumbs the depths of the New World Order's ideology, their philosophy. Out of the ashes of the September 11th tragedy, a dark empire of war and tyranny has risen. The Constitution has been shredded, and America is now a police state. This film exposes not just who was behind the 9/11 attacks, but the roots and history of its orchestrators. Martial Law is a blazing spotlight piercing the electronic Berlin Wall of controlled corporate media. Plumb the depths of the elite's minds, their ideology, their driving philosophy, and uncover the power-mad cult of death that is sworn to turn the Earth into a prison planet. Discover the documented truth for yourself before it's too late. Call toll-free to get a copy of Martial Law. 1-888-253-3139. Or visit InfoWars.com and the secure shopping cart. That's InfoWars.com or 888-253-3139. Or watch the film right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
You've asked for them, and now they're here. Hello, folks. Alex Jones introducing you to the new Berkey PF2 fluoride and arsenic reduction elements for exclusive use with the Berkey Lights Black Berkey Purification Elements. The Berkey's PF2 simply screw onto the stem of the Black Berkey Purification Element. When used, water flow through the purification elements where pathogenic bacteria, harmful chemicals, radon-222, heavy metals, nitrates, foul taste and odors are separated from the water. The water then flows through the PF2 elements where fluoride, arsenic, and other residual heavy metal ions are separated. Your purified water is now ready. If you have fluoride or arsenic in your water, you need the Berkey PF2 post-filter elements. Get a set of two for only $49 or get two sets for only $89 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, John, Ron, Betsy, Kevin, everybody, we're going to your calls. Russ is up first, listening to us in Southern California on KCAA. Russ, thanks for calling. You're on the air with our guest. Go ahead.
Okay, I got 3 points to make. Now, I don't have the data with me, but back about 30 years ago, that we got a CIA warning that the KGB had trained 10,000 ministers, secret agents, as Christian ministers. Another point, and I wonder where they're hiding, right in front of us on the boob tube. And then another point, it was about the, let's see, we got the KGB, and then there was a, oh, doggone, I was writing it down so I could.
Well, there was the GRU.
The TRU?
GRU.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, I think you're bringing up the fact that the Soviets engaged in this, and Dr.
That's right. Another thing. Oh, they bought up Soviet bloc money, bought up all our publications when they were in trouble back in about the same time.
The point you're making is that the Soviets engaged in false flag operation, then that's true.
They own Time, Life, Look. You're wondering why these magazines take the slants they do? The ministers, the publications, the media, the mass media, they own all that. The Soviets had for quite a while. And then, of course, you know, remember the Federal Reserve was what got JFK murdered. Because he was going to institute those silver dollars, which would hit them right where they live in the interest-bearing money.
Well, I mean, he did issue $4 billion of $44 billion of Lincoln greenbacks, little $5 bills. I own several of them. Thank you so much for the call, sir. Interesting points that you raise, and we want to thank our great affiliate out there, KCAA, in Southern California. Comments, Professor, Doctor?
Well, if you know, this gentleman said, let's look at Russia as well. And what we look, if we look at false flag in Russia, it's obviously the restart of the Chechen War. We had a series of bombings in Moscow before the war against Chechnya restarted in 1999. And there's been a lot of accusations between Putin and other Russians saying, you know, this was the Russian Secret Service and they posed as Chechens. So what we have to understand that is false flag is a technique. It's not something this or that nation does and this or that nation never does.
Well,
it's
doctor,
something human beings do.
Yes, Doctor, you raise Russian false flag in 99. The four apartment bombings, three of which were carried out.
I'm saying it could be a false flag. We're
well,
not
no,
sure.
I'm in a, well, Moscow police caught known members of SFB with the hexagen bombs in the fourth building.
I know that one, yeah.
Yes, and so that's why we have that story. And,
yeah.
And the Chechens were saying, why would we attack you and bring your raft down? They didn't have the motive.
That's it. I mean, obviously the motive thing plays a role to sort of focus, zoom in on one group or the other. But historically, it's always very difficult to sort of say, now we have the proof. But
exactly.
What you will see, the official history very quickly writes, you know, it was a Chechen bombing. And that is obviously too imprecise. We must always look in more detail. Was it not a false flag?
Yes, sir.
And if it was, how can we prove it?
We've got a break. You're going to be with us for another 30 minutes. We're going to continue with phone calls for our guests. Your calls are only 70 seconds away after this break. When we get back, we'll take your calls and cover more. Right now, go to InfoWars.com. Get martial law. Get Road to Tyranny. Get 9/11 Descent into Tyranny. Get the films and books that prove what you need to know about the New World Order's operations. You need to go to InfoWars.com or the online video bookstore and get these films and get them now to understand the full magnitude of what we're discussing. We'll be right back.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.